has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening. I think I'm by myself.
Sounds like it. How's Tony doing?
A little bit there.
I heard Malka, and there's somebody at Judy's there.
Yes, I heard her identify herself.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to mute because I have company.
All right. So today's handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 11, the second column from the left. It's advanced reincarnation classes. When it opens up, please scroll down to class 37B. Oh, my mistake. It's in class 37B. Which is Ezekiel. And I see I have a problem getting there, so just when the page opens up, scroll down till you see Ezekiel. That's what I'm doing now. This is interesting. The last time I will have to fix this page. Scroll down to where the print color changes to blue. Well, that's about the place where we should begin. And I'll have to figure out what I've gotten deleted. But we'll start with L'Shem Yichud. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to me now. The same Yichud Kutchabarichu Ishkinte beat Hiluver. Urhimu Udhilu Udhilu Urhimu. Leahta Lashem Yudhe Bavate. The Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael. Le Mud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vehino Amadunai Lohinu Alena Maseya Deno Kanane Alena Maseya Deno Kanane. I'm starting to read without that chapter heading, but I remember it's talking about Ezekiel, and the name of Ezekiel appears in this first paragraph. Adam equals 45, which is also the name that fixes the breaking of the vessels, which happened in the world of Tohu, the root of Cain. Ezekiel was so-called a son of Adam, for he fixed Cain, the first son of Adam. He was told to stand on his feet to fix Netzach and Hod. So it's talking about what was the correction of Ezekiel, and what the Ari does in this paragraph is explain some things that he said earlier, that the Adam was a creation that would fix or make tikkun, correct, the breaking of the vessels, which takes place in the world of Tohu. And if you're familiar with Genesis, the first, the second verse, Tohu Vavohu. Bohu Vavohu is the language.
Has joined.
And Ezekiel is called the son of Adam because he's fixing Cain. He's making correction for Cain. And the way we know that is there's a verse that he is told to stand on his feet, which is a code phrase for Netzach and Hod. Continuing, it says of Korach, and the standing up that is in their feet. This is a verse from Deuteronomy. This is a person's money that stands him on his feet. Above, we saw about Korach having to do with the bad part of the Cain root. Korach possessed a great portion of the wealth of the world. There are powerful sparks in wealth. It is so special that it was used to build the Holy Temple and drew the Shekhinah in there. Now, this is kind of code words that we just don't hear anywhere else, don't really understand unless you think about it. But we have this adage that money is the root of all evil, but there's another part of that, except for spiritual actions achieved with money. What are those actions? The easiest ones to think about or to become aware of is truma and tzedakah, charity and tzedakah. But this paragraph is telling us that there are a lot of sparks in money or in wealth, in the accumulation of wealth, and that the purpose of the accumulation of that wealth is to actually elevate those sparks. But if you don't do anything with your wealth, whether it's truma or tzedakah, if you don't invest it in another business to build it up, those sparks are just going to deteriorate and return back to their place in the klipot. But if you do invest it, if you put your wealth to work and helping people through jobs or generally through philanthropy, if you're doing those actions, you are elevating the sparks. That is it. So essentially, money is klipa, which is why it says the root of all evil. But you can utilize money for positive purposes, sharing purposes, and then it's not a klipa. Those sparks are being elevated. Ezekiel revealed the workings of the Merkava, which is the chariot, which is the root above of the holy temple. So he elevated the Korach root and revealed godliness. And this paragraph is easily understood because what is the chariot? It's easier for people in the modern generation to think of the chariot as a car. What do you do with a car? You drive from one place to another. You go to meetings, so you have businesses. You move from one location to another. You fly in an airplane, but you have to take the car to get from your house to the airport. So all of these images of movement, that's what the chariot is. And the chariot is literally moving the sephirot relative to each other. Ezekiel, in his prophecies, he's the only prophet who describes prophecies outside of Israel. And we have a tradition that prophecy can only be utilized, you can only receive prophecy in Israel. But the Zohar explains that Ezekiel received prophecy outside of Israel because the people were so beaten down by the destruction of the first temple. So when the people were taken to Babylonia or to modern day Iran and sold as slaves or literally moved there and were forced to live there, they were so beaten down that Ezekiel was given a view of the Merkava, of the workings of the chariot. And we have the very famous verses about the cloud and the fire and the soft, still, small voice. And we're taught in the Zohar that this is a description of the various levels of klipot that keeps us away from the light. The still, small voice, my understanding is that is not a klipa, but the other parts of it are. So Ezekiel, by revealing the works of the Merkava, the result was he elevated the Korach root, which was the negative part of Cain. Continuing to read. Ezekiel was the level of the legs of Cain, as we will explain. The legs are that which allow a man to stand, and this is what it means. Everything that stood was eradicated. All that stood is the secret of legs, as I explained. In the proper place, that which was ascribed to Cain because of his weakness and sin was strengthened through Ezekiel. Therefore is he called Yeheskel, or Ezekiel, which is a term of Hosek, strength. Thus he was told, stand on your feet to strengthen, to stand on them. The feet, which are Netzach and Hod, I've said this a number of times, but you really need to understand it clearly. We have something called a standing prayer. We call it the Amidah. Some people call it the prayer of 18 blessings, which is the Shemona Esra. But what is the difference between the Shema Yisrael, which you say while sitting, and the Amidah you say while standing? And the Kabbalah explains, when you are sitting and praying, like the Shema, you are manifesting the energy that you draw. The Shema draws the energy of healing, but the energy of healing is not really useful unless you manifest it in your life, unless you use it to strengthen your immune system so it can defeat disease and heal you. Whereas the 18 blessings that's in the Amidah, you're standing when you say them, whisper them. And that standing represents the drawing of the energy. When you draw energy, you are revealing light. In order to manifest the energy, you have to draw it. Where do you draw the energy for the Shema? You draw it in the Amidah. But you draw it in yesterday's Amidah. Look at the cycle. When does the day start? The day starts in the evening. So you first pray an evening Amidah. And then you pray the nighttime Shema. Yes, you have an evening Shema prior to the evening Amidah. Why? Because you're manifesting the energy that you drew in the earlier Amidahs that you said during the day. Then you have a nighttime Shema that you've drawn the energy in the Amidah of the evening, you say the nighttime Shema. But if you don't say the nighttime Shema because you fell asleep, the morning Shema is said before the morning Amidah. So you can see how the cycle is. You draw energy, which means you're standing, and you manifest that energy because you're sitting. And that is the cycle, the movement of the Sephirot. Continuing to read the next paragraph, this all relates to the secret of Nadav and Abihu, who are Netzach and Hod, which are the legs. Ezekiel drew from them and fixed the roots of the generation of the flood, whose mistake affected the feet. Now, what is this paragraph telling us? Ezekiel is a prophet, just as Nadav and Abihu had become prophets. They'd becoming alive. They became Elijah, and then they became Samuel, and then they became connected, not necessarily an Ebor of Ezekiel, because that's not what it says, but they become connected, and it says it drew the energy from them and corrected the roots of the generation of the flood. And the mistake of the generation of the flood has to do with Malchut, which is the feet. As mentioned, the special quality of Ezekiel is that he revealed the Ma'aseh Merkavah, the workings of the divine chariot. And the Ma'aseh is describing the Sephirot as they rise or fall relative to each other. We will now explain the matter of Rav Mesharshia, and through this explain the matter of Ezekiel and Heskiah. His name has the levels of Abba and Ima in it. the Aleph of Masharshia can be switched for the He, forming Yud and He, which correspond to Abba and Ima, as is known. It is also known that from the name Yah flows Tosefet, Shabbat, the additional time of Shabbat. We bring Shabbat early and we send it out late, adding additional time to the Shabbat. And that is called Tosefet, the additional amount. And so we can find that Rav Maharshaya is the secret of Tosefet Shabbat in this root of Cain. Now, we don't think of Shabbat being in a human being. But Shabbat is an energy. And that energy can be utilized every day of the week. Most people don't try to utilize it. But once you reach certain levels of the study of Kabbalah, you strive to bring Shabbat early and keep it late so that you can arrive at having that energy available to you during the week. It is possible to add time to Shabbat at the beginning and at the end, as I just said. Elsewhere, the Arizal tells us that there are only three times when the upper third of Tiferet of Zeranpin is revealed. One of them is during this additional time of Shabbat. This shows how special a time it is. The reason behind it is simple. A time that left alone would have been mundane is transferred to being sacred. Measure for measure from above, hidden levels are revealed. You can attach, connect to that energy and utilize it during your mundane days. The hidden treasures revealed are Abba and Ima, the source of the intrinsic light of Shabbat. Therefore, it is called holy. This is a special Cain quality, to turn the mundane to sacred and thereby draw from places above the world. This is why is it a special quality of Cain? Because Cain is the firstborn. And it's describing the energy of the firstborn. And you, people don't ever truly never understand what the energy of being a firstborn is all about, but it's expressed right here. It's not the only energy of the firstborn, but it's a significant part of it. In the name Varashpia, we have four letters that are remaining after we've removed the Yah, the Yud and the He. One is it's a Mem, a Shin, a Resh, and a Shin. The two Shins hint to the two names, Mem Sadi Peit Sadi, Mem Sadi Peit Sadi, each of which has a gematria of 300, which is the Shin. Mem is 40, Sadi is 90, Pei is 80, Sadi is 90. So you have 130 plus 80 is 210 plus 90 is 300. They are the two names of Tosefet Shabbat mentioned in the Zohar in the portion of Yitro in the Zohar called the Reaya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, or it's really the soul of Moses that's teaching this. And this is a discussion of the verse, remember the Shabbat. And there are seven divine names mentioned in that Zohar section. And Tosefet Shabbat is part of it. But why is it two shins? The simple answer is that the Tosefet part of Shabbat is before is one shin, and after is the other shin. These names are called seven pearls and are to be had in mind when saying the seven blessings of the Shema of the Sabbath evening service. This is a good kavanah that you didn't know existed. It is the service that immediately follows the Tosefet Shabbat. They come from the seven lower Sephirot. Shabbat is like the world that is coming. On it, all the worlds ascend. The process of ascent starts Friday. It intensifies late Friday afternoon, close to Shabbat. One who accepts upon himself the holiness of Shabbat at this time turns the mundane into holy. This is a most positive switch. This is also why the mincha of Friday afternoon is done significantly in front of the coming of Shabbat. All workings above are directly rooted in the divine names. One of the forms of Yudke Vavke, which is Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, expressing it through chiluf, the switching of the letters. It involves taking the letter on the opposite side of the alphabet and switching it such that the yud becomes a mem, the hey becomes a tzadi, the vav becomes a pei, and the hey is the tzadi. This is the Atbash letter substitutions. This name permutation process reflects the switching of the mundane into holiness. This leaves the two letters Mem and Resh, which are equal in gematria to the other five names written there, which are Yudke Vavke, Yudhe Vavke, El, Elohim, and Adonai. They all total to 234. All seven names total 241. Thus, Rav Masharshia is the level of Tosefet Shabbat from the root of the sparks of Cain, which incorporates seven names within their source of Yud-Heh. I'm not going to explain this, but if you think about it, it will all become clear. And after a while of thinking about it, you want an explanation, give me a call and we will discuss it. I'll make it clear for you. And Shmuel says, just so that you're aware of it, how does 300, or how do these names become 241? He's telling us they're 234, and it's two different things, and you just have to think it through and make the numerical analysis. Furthermore, says Shmuel, in my humble opinion, it is a better calculation to use the five names themselves with their kollel, and that totals 240. Since the two names, Mamzapat, go with themselves. Mamzapat, you have Mem is 40, Tzadi is 90, Pei is 80, Tzadi is 90. So you have 130 plus 80 is 210 plus 90 is 300. I would have to think about this one as and relate it to the previous one. So if you have any problem with figuring this out or analyzing it, give me a call and we'll do it together. Now, this next section is called King Hezekiah. Most people pronounce it in from the English Hezekiah. But this is a very famous king. He was very righteous. He followed his kingship after his father, who was extremely wicked. And he caused people to return to Hashem. And he got great benefit from it. But the famous story about him is in the Tanakh itself, in the Book of Prophets. He was told, it was prophesied, that he would die. And he said, why? What did I do? And the prophet, I don't remember who was the prophet who gave him this message, said, you have chosen not to cohabit with your wife, so you don't have children. And he said, look, I'm a prophet also. I see my children are going to be not righteous. They're going to be evil. And the prophet said to him, you don't have that choice. The mitzvah is to bring children, be fruitful and multiply. It's not up to you for what your children will do. The fact that they may become evil does not change your obligation to bring them. So, the story is that King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, meaning he turned his face to his wall. He connected to Hashem, the Shekhinah. And by the time the prophet reached the entrance to the palace, he was told to turn around and tell him that his tshuva had been accepted. So now we're going to read this section 4C. King Hezekiah is the level of the head of the Cain root. For the sages say that Cain was blamed for his weakness by the Holy One, blessed be he, during the days of the flood. He was rectified and strengthened through the Gilgul of Hezekiah. This is what Hezekiah means. Chazak Yud-Heh. Strengthen Yud-Heh. For through him the head was strengthened. The root of Cain, which is called Yud-Heh, the level of the head which is within which is Abba, Yud, and Ima, Heh. Isaiah told him, you will die and not live. For he thought that he had not yet rectified the level of the head called Yud-Heh. And so he said, you will not see Yud-Heh. Hezekiah saw that his child was to become an idolater. Hezekiah himself was a seer and saw that his child was to become an idolater. He therefore refrained from marriage. The prophet Isaiah was sent to tell him of pending death. A person is obligated to do his mitzvah, and it is God's business as to what comes out of it. Hezekiah proposed to get them married. Isaiah told him that it was too late. He retorted, so did I receive from the house of my great-grandfather, King David. Even if a sharp sword is resting on a person's neck, he should not give up, invoking God's mercy. He was granted another 15 years, long enough to raise his child. commentary, the Torah actually says that King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and did to teshuvah after the prophet told him he was to die. I do not believe it was the prophet Isaiah, but the prophet Nathan. In fact, before the prophet Nathan had left the building that they were in, Nathan was told to go back and tell King Hezekiah that his teshuvah was accepted, and he did not have to die at that moment. And King Hezekiah was granted these additional 15 years to get married and have his two children, both who became idol worshippers. One day we will be able to see all of the potential movies of our world to know what would have happened if Hezekiah had died. In my opinion, we cannot evaluate if Hashem lengthened our process at that moment. We do teshuvah, we should have lengthened process, but we really can't see that. We just have to experience it. But if you keep telling people that you're going to live at least 300 more years, then you will live at least 300 more years. Because after all, we're learning that from the modern Mashiach principles of President Trump. Now, I'm not supporting President Trump. I'm not supporting President Trump. I'm not bringing politics into it, other than for you to realize he says many things that are not true over and over and over again. And that's what he was taught by Roy Cohen, who was the lawyer that very much involved with the McCarthy hearings. But Roy Cohn, the fact that his name is Cohen tells you he was a Cohen. He was a priest. He definitely was not observant, but still, he learned what we learned. The more you say something, the more it penetrates the consciousness of the people around you. So I will keep telling you I'm going to live at least 300 more years, and you guys need to decide to stay around and prove me right. And it's time you start telling your friends that, even if you did it as light, like I do, with a smile on your face. And maybe they think it's a joke. But it's really not a joke. It's mind over matter at work. So I'm going to continue reading. Yud-Heh equals 15. It is the source of Chachma, Bina, and Daat, the mental faculties, and the Chachma, wisdom, enlivens its owners, is a verse from Ecclesiastes. They die, but not in Chachma, the source of life, is a statement from the prophet Haggigah. You have made them all in Chachma. In general, a king draws from this source in order to enable him to enliven his kingdom. Hezekiah comes from the head of the cane, the firstborn root, and is so extra regal. The woman affords her husband Malchut connection. Hezekiah's lack of marriage deterred from his kingship, which is his very lifeline. His teshuvah reopened the pipeline and drew him a higher level of life, directly from Hashem. If so was drawn upon his entire kingdom. This rectified the head aspect in all the worlds and paved the way for the Mashiach Tikkun. As mentioned, if Hezekiah would have sung to God, he would have been Mashiach. For then he would have stepped up the drawing Chachma to Keter. Now do you understand why I chant, even though I don't know how to chant with the trope, with the correct, whatever correct means when you're reading Torah? But I chant it. I chant the Zohar. I chant everything I read in Hebrew or Aramaic for this reason. Continuing. Hence we find that Hezekiah began to rectify the level of the root head, as mentioned, and therefore the name Yud-Heh is alluded to in him. Through Rav Mesharshia, the tikkun of the head was being completed, and therefore he has the letters Sherashia Yehudai, Sherash Shinreshin Yud-Heh, which is the root of Yud-Heh, since the head is called Yah, which is the root of all. They, the Dinim, are all, the judgments are all, are clarified in Chachma. From here we learn that first the leader is fixed, and then everything else follows suit. This is a paraphrase of the Zohar. And Naso, or the Idra Rabba, where it speaks of Keter, the ultimate hidden source. The same applies a step down of Chachma, the revealed root. A good leader can fix everything in the source and so establish a root in reality of rectification for all things. And this is where some people, especially in the era of rabbinate, which we all know that the Zohar tells us that the rabbis of this generation, the root of their soul is Erev Rav, and this is why they have been saying that President Trump is part of the Mashiach consciousness. They can't say he's the Mashiach because of his character flaws. I should say his character traits, which I consider flaws. But it's really very much part of the correction. What is it the correction of? It's the correction of the head of Chachma and Bina, Yud and Hey. And this is the concept of the Tikkun HaKalali, the general remedy that Rabbi Nachman has taught us. Every possible problem has a specific remedy. Problems are sourced in a prevalence of dinim, of judgments. In the Sefirot, renewing the light of a given Sefirah rejuvenates and repairs the damage of its dinim, of its judgments. Drawing from Chachma, the top of the Sefirot is a general encompassing cure that automatically fixes everything underneath. That's why the Tikkun Kelali is recommended to say every day. And when we get through with our study of the Psalms, which is probably about a year away, then we'll be able to address the discussion of the Tikkun Kelali at its deeper level. That does not stop you from being able to do it now. We just learned today about Lo Lishma and Lishma. My commentary. There's also the teachings of the modern Kabbalists. We have to go to the seed level, which is the Keter, to make permanent change. When someone loses weight, it is not the seed level, and thus they will gain this weight back. Once they get to the reason they lose weight, at its seed, the mental level, they will lose weight and never gain it back. And you're beginning to see some of those ads on television for different weight loss systems, all indicating that because we're getting to the root of your reason for being overweight, you can lose the weight and never gain it back. So it is with the self. There is some way to fix specific difficulties. However, it is much higher to elevate the state of mind and thereby repair the source of all problems across the board. This is done through attaining Chachma consciousness. And the essence of Chachma consciousness or Chachma awareness is nullification. Chachma is Koachma, the power of nullification. The essence of Chachma awareness is nullification. The mind is calmed from external material stimuli and focused on the inner transcendental. This is a spiritual high-tech method of solving problems without having to do anything. Or another way of saying this is mind over matter. Therefore, Heskia and Rav Marsharshia are both in the head of the Cain root, whereas Ezekiel and the prophet strengthen Cain on the level of the legs. And this is the secret of the verse, Son of Man, stand on your legs, etc., as mentioned. Know that Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma are the two names that come out of the two shins of Rav. Marsharshia. Therefore, ben Azai married the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, and even though the two are not from the root mentioned, nevertheless, they have great closeness to this root. These two are clearly related, as indicated here by the Arizal, and also from their juxtaposition in the sayings of the rabbis. And they are both known as Ben so-and-so. They were from the four that ascended to the orchard. They all correspond to the four letters of the Tetragrammaton. Rabbi Akiva is from the Yud, the Acher is from the Vav, the bends correspond to the Hayes, which is all written in the Talmud in Hagiga. And there they suffered sifter-like damage. Ben Zoma's soul soared above and didn't return. Ben Azai also left, common communication seeming to have lost sanity. My commentary. We have been speaking of these four people who ascended to the Pardes, which here is being referred to as the orchard. I direct you to the recordings of the Zohar Bereshit, sections 19 through 22. These are from the most outstanding sages of their generation, yet they were not titled rabbi. Previously, the secret of Ben Azai was explained. Azai comes from the root az, meaning brazen, or az itself is an acronym for Aza Zoma, or Azai Zoma. Their quality is holy brazenness. They learned, taught, and stood for raw truth without the need of any title or sanction. So they are both called after Shimon, who is the second son of Leah, which is connected to Bina, and so corresponds to Giborah, the second Sephiroth down. Giborah is the source of Atzut, brazenness, of chutzpah. That's the negative aspect of brazenness. There's a positive aspect as well. It was similar with Elijah the prophet, since he came from the daughters of Putiel through Pinchas, that is from Yitro, who came from Cain. The souls of Nadav and Abihu, who were from Cain, became mixed within him. Likewise, with respect to Elisha and Jonah Amittai, both of whom had great closeness to this root. My teacher did not explain any more regarding this closeness. He did not fulfill the years allotted to him. However, regarding what he says about the respect to Hezekiah, I said, with my days cut short, the Demi Yomai, even though he gained 15 extra years that came from his years he was supposed to have lived from the outset. As the sages say, he did not fulfill the years allotted to him. Some were missing. The rest of his years were completed through Rav Dimi from Nethardea, who was the actual Gilgul, without a spark from anyone else. This is what Hezekiah said. I said, with my days cut short, the Demi Yomai, deprived of the rest of my years. He was talking about Rav Dimi, through whom I was deprived and completed my days. The rest of my years allotted me, which I did not complete at first. That is the end of our class for today. Does anyone have any questions? There is quite a bit of revelation of unknown material in this class. So I would recommend listening to the recording as soon as I put it up. There will be four classes tomorrow. One will be at 7 a.m., and that's all times are West Coast time. So the 7 a.m. class is our morning prayer class. We'll be reading from the second Aliyah. And if there's time, we'll discuss more of the morning blessings. Then at 11 a.m. West Coast time, we will have a basic class continuing our finishing of the Kashrut discussion, and this is going to be primarily about hectures. Our 4:30 class is our Deep Zohar class. And we're going to be talking quite a bit about the 72 names of God over the next few days. And our 7 o'clock class tomorrow night will be an essay by the Arizal on the subject or the parasha of Vayera. So I recommend all four classes. I bid you all Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening. Are there any questions?
Hey, have a beautiful evening yourself. Thank you, Hanok.
Thank you. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom. Shavua Tov.